Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you're not standing, stand with us, would you please? We're going to get into the Word of God. How many of you know all of your help comes from Jesus? Not some of it, all of it does. What a day this has been to acknowledge our missionaries. I was hoping, I was backstage, I said, and hear him mention anything about the McNeils. The McNeils were our first missionaries ever sent out of this house. Yes, come on, give them a big hand for that. And see what they... Lord have mercy, Jesus. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. We're in this little short series. This is part two of the beauty of holiness. And we're going to read the verses there, starting with verse 23 from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake.
For the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness.
If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For what is my liberty judged by another man's conscience?
But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of? For the food over which I care thanks.
Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's start that verse again. All right. Give no
offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God.
Verse 33 together. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we've been on a journey for the last week, and we're going to hopefully accommodate this next week. But Lord, today we want to talk about those things that we don't like to talk about. Those things that we could get an attitude over, or we could get stumble over. But Lord, your Holy Spirit is so greater than the preferences and the ideas that we have. So we ask the Holy Spirit to be the teacher to us today, that we would learn some things that would be open to the Spirit. And Lord, you would change us into the beauty of your holiness. Holiness not as some legalistic formation of ideas, but it's a place where we can just be just like you. We can judge like you. We can walk like you. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful, awesome name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Turn to your neighbor, tell them this: I'm holy because God says I am. You may be seated. Some people say, why did he make us do that? Because some of you would never say it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We said it last week. We're going to say it again. But you know, when we open the discussion about holiness, the community of believers is often focused, is often on things that are forbidden and licensed or embraced by others. And this whole scripture that he's talking about here, and I'm going to try to do the best I can to fit all this in the next few minutes. But the controversy runs deep, so deep that many churches and church movements and denominations center focus around the thing, what is allowable and endorsed by their denomination. The unfortunate result is that many feel their dedication to the Lord surpasses that of others who have liberties that would be described as unholy and unsanctified. Now, I'll tell you what. Of all the places I've been in my life, you know, I was in the Sanctified Holiness Church, and y'all ain't none of y'all saved. Y'all came here with watches on your arm, wearing that jewelry from the devil. Some of you got that lipstick paint on your face. And my God, those women with open-toed shoes, I know they're on their way to hell. You said, what? That's where we came from. And that's all we knew. But let me get into the little things we'll talk about today. I can't get into that particular sidebar today. Number one, does your standard of holiness revolve around the things that you refrain from doing because of personal convictions and disciplinary choices? And there's some things that, you know, I'll probably never do, but you'll be able to do it. You know what? I'm not offended. But the problem is when we take an offense to this and we make that our standard of holiness, that everybody who does those things, they couldn't possibly know Jesus. Amen. Let me get into the next part of it. Do you find yourself experiencing a level of spiritual pride because upon your belief system dictated to your own conscience? In other words, my conscience is more sensitive than yours. You got one of them loose consciences. It's all good. Well, let's look at number three. Would your standard of holiness survive the litmus test of Jesus' judgment via the work of the Holy Spirit operation through the conviction of what is right and what is wrong? You know, I found out the Bible says the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. My convicting you of sin will not work, because all you do is find a way to hide from me and you do whatever you want. That's how it works. And this is how we did it back in the church. Back in the church days, there's one thing I would like to introduce to you at this particular point. How many of you know of blue laws? Not very many of you. Wow, I am old. Blue laws were laws that basically, a lot of them were equated to Sundays. Things you couldn't not do on Sunday. Remember back in the day, they could not sell meat on Sundays? All the grocery stores were closed on Sundays. I know I ain't that old. There were certain things they just did not do them on Sundays. And it was really back many, many years ago, and they had a whole list of things you couldn't do. Now, even currently, there are laws in various places. Like I was listening to the radio the other day, and they just now, in one state back in back south, they finally made it okay for people to dance on Sundays. Anywhere. What? Now, some of the way y'all dance, you don't need to dance anytime, but that's another story. I'm gonna get away from the subject. Here we go. Let's go into the scripture a little bit more. It says here, our standard of holiness must come into alignment with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen for that one? Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. This will kind of set the stage for us. The next day, as they went out on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up into the house to pray in about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they were made ready, he fell into a trance. Next person, this portion, please. And he saw the heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Oh, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, and a second time, and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Amen. I hope you don't leave here with an idea that pastors license everything for us to do. We can do whatever we want. It don't really matter. As long as it doesn't bother us, it shouldn't bother you. That's not where we're going. So get off that bus and get on the one I'm going to take you on. It comes to this particular place that there's some things that will happen to us that God can only change our mind or our perspective by allowing us a supernatural experience of himself to point out to us the error in the way that we think, or even to traditions that we've had in our life before. Culture and tradition will often affect our personal standard of holiness, because this is the way we've always done it. Well, that's the way I was told it was supposed to be done. I don't want to go through the whole list of things, but there's some things that are carryover into your life today, the things you will never do or never say. And it's probably, in some cases, it's not a bad thing. But when it becomes your standard of religion, it makes a stumbling block for other people who want to find Jesus and can't find Jesus because you won't let them. Because you're holding this up in their face. You can't find Jesus till you do this. Well, I'm sorry, but you're not the one. There are many things that we have adhered to as law and standards of choices before our conversion that we believe are standards of holiness. And we believe that if we could stop, chewing tobacco, smoking, drinking, we really had to shoe in to the kingdom. But one of the things that really messed with me was I was doing some studies, in theological studies. And one of the most profound theologians was a cigar smoker. Big, huge stogies. And thinking, oh, dear God in heaven, what good thing could come out of it? The man had, he had some insight and wisdom about Scripture. But how could that possibly happen? The man smokes. Then I found out there was others that were not teetotalers, had an adult beverage on a regular basis, many adult beverages. And I'm not sure all the things he got was from God. I think visions he got were from any other. In spite of the things that I knew that were absolute disqualifiers for different things, God would use those people in spite of this. Now, the other thing, I remember back in the days when the Holy Spirit was Father Dennis Bennett up in Seattle, Washington, at his church. I think it was Episcopalian Church. The Holy Spirit fell, and all these people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I went up there with the church I was in at that particular point. And the Holy Spirit's falling, and people are just, getting filled with the Holy Spirit and getting saved, this type of thing. Those women had enough lipstick and rouge on to paint a barn. It was shameless hussies. Open-toed shoes, some without shoes, and strapless dresses. Oh, Jesus. How could the Holy Spirit find someone like that? See, your standard isn't God's standard. Am I giving you a message about just let it all hang out? Not necessarily. But I'm telling you, the way that you look at it is not the way that God looks at it, because you're going to find that Peter had some things to learn. Well, anyway, some of the things that we were taught in general as being bad, we will discover were based on the traditions of men. Now, moving on quickly, we can expect that there will be a genuine challenges to our faith when we are seeking the Lord in prayer. Because remember, this whole situation with Peter, he went up on the rooftop, he's waiting for dinner to be done. And he starts to pray, and all of a sudden he finds himself in a trance. Now, I hope you don't take issue to that. So he had an out-of-body experience. Don't go too far. But many times the Holy Spirit will overtake us as if we are in a trance to get through to us. In our normal state of being, God has to do something supernatural to bring us to an awareness that we're no longer in control. He'll take us to places we've never been before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He has to blank out everything else and bring you into his presence, and so he has your full undivided attention. Well, that's the situation that we're dealing with. And so the fact that Peter was hungry opened up his heart to make changes in the way he thought. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I get hungry, I'm mean. I'll be honest. Give me something to eat, and my attitude will change. But when I'm hungry, I'm not fun to be around. Ask my wife. I'm not fun. I'm no fun at all. Give me a sandwich. Give me something. And I want to tell you, there are things that physiologically will help, that will interfere with your mood. Somebody wave your hand to let me know I'm not crazy. Or if you don't get enough sleep, oh, Lord, you're a trip. I say, night-night, go to bed, sweetie, night-night. See you tomorrow, okay? You start talking crazy. Well, here's the deal. So he falls into this trance. And the Lord uses his state of mind that he's hungry. And all of a sudden he sees these animals and such in this sheet that comes down in front of him. And, more than likely, because he's Jewish as far as it's concerned, there was a hog. Pork chops, bacon, sausage, personified in a pig. And so the Lord says to him, And of course, in his state of mind, he's hungry. Arise, Peter, slay and eat. He says, Lord, what you talking about? I don't eat none of that nasty stuff. There's probably some crab and some other things in there, which they didn't eat that either. Crustaceans and such of this nature. And so he says, and he's, first of all, even though he's hungry, he relies on his religion to dictate how his hunger is going to be satisfied. But he forgets about, the Lord said to him, arise, Peter, kill these things and eat them and satisfy your hunger. And his response was, mm-mm. And here's, and I would venture to say he probably doubted. I'm going to say this to his credit, that it was the Lord talking to him. Ever thought it was somebody else other than God talking to you because he didn't fit your program of way things work? You kind of ignored, you kind of blew it off. Nah, it couldn't be God. God wouldn't want me to do that. You know, especially when God wouldn't want me to apologize to her. You know how mean she was. God wouldn't tell me to bake her a cake. God wouldn't tell me to help her because she is the wicked witch of the north. I would never have to do something like that. I'm like, God's curse will come upon her and she'll know how evil she is. And God is telling you, go over there to her, serve her, minister to her, and something good will happen. See, we are so dismissive about how God operates in situations, and that's the reason why we can't be holy. Because we got it all figured out how it works. So his response is, oh, Heavenly Father, you know I've never partaken of the split hoof of the pork or schnauzer. The crustaceans of the crab. Those type of things have never entered my mouth. Those foul, decrepit animals. Jesus said, look, don't be calling anything I told you to eat which I've cleansed to be unholy. I want to get to some of you folks who've got an attitude towards folks who do not meet your criterion of people that could be used by God. If God could use a jackass, he can use you. Somebody say amen, he had to. Oh, let's get more into this. Okay, the fact that Peter was hungry opened up his way. When we are hungry, naturally or spiritually, we will often be open to consider things that we would normally ignore. I already told you, you know, I'm kind of a funny guy when I'm hungry. But also, there's a fact, this is a matter that, you know, you aren't as picky if you're really hungry. My car won't drive to McDonald's. My car won't go to Sherry's. Or if it's the only thing open at night, you'll find yourself sneaking in the back door. Don't tell nobody I was here. What does this mean? Is it noteworthy to consider that the trance that Peter was in was ordained by the Holy Spirit? And I think oftentimes God has to rearrange the way that we process things by his Spirit to get through to us. And it includes these particular things. First of all, the Lord will introduce us to holiness in ways that seem unusual. And perhaps he's done this to you. A person that you have deemed to be the most unholy, vile, whatever person there is, and that person will come over and they will help you to do something you cannot do. Or they'll bring you dinner, or they'll do some particular thing, and you think, oh, and you can't really take it because you've got all these attitudes toward them. And then all of a sudden, this is the person that shows up that will do kindness for you. Today, if you don't get anything out of this message, I hope that you'll take this home with you. God will use whoever he wants to use, and you don't get to pick who he uses in your life. There are people that will come into the kingdom once you release them from your judgment and your idea that they're not good enough or they're not strong enough or they're not holy enough to be in your presence. Now, work with that a little bit. I'll add a few other things to it and then we'll be done. So, another issue that we got to face is the key to our encounter with holiness is obedience to the instructions of the Lord. Holiness means nothing if you're disobedient. Because some of you have gone hog wild and pig crazy in your life. And then all of a sudden, you get this one thing that you do right, then you want everything else forgotten about. It doesn't work that way. You're a fair ID mess and all these other different things. Then all of a sudden, you get this one thing right, and all of a sudden, you want to build your little kingdom. Let it go. We must not use our past experiences as an excuse for disobedience to our present command from the Lord. Here's Peter. Don't you know? Never, ever disobeyed you as the laws that we're things we're supposed to eat. That's your reason, that's your standard of holiness. I've never done what I'm not supposed to do. Maybe physically you didn't have a pork chop. But all the people you hacked up in the process doesn't account for the fact you never had pork. We will focus on that one little thing we're able to keep together, but all the other stuff is just out there. And so, he's just trying to get through the whole person. The whole person, he says, don't call what I've cleansed unclean. Have you forgotten you're hungry? And this is my provision for you. And some of us are silly enough, I'd rather die before I do that. Let me know what you want at your funeral. Because you probably will. Well, Jesus has the power to take that which was once unholy to us and sanctify it in order to satisfy our hunger. Well, that's true. Tradition and the past experience will try to uproot what the Lord is desiring to do in our life today. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 3 through 6, I didn't have that in the rotation, so I'll have to find that for you and read it on my own. But it's an interesting time where David is with some of his men, and they find themselves in a predicament because they've been hungry for a while. And so here's what happens to them. Let's see, it's chapter 21. I'll pick it up here real quick. Okay. And it says, in verse 21, it says this, and now David and Nob and Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, why are you alone and no one is with you? And David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has ordered me to do some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business of what I send you to do. Verse 3. Now, therefore, what have you in on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand or whatever you have found. Because he's got his posse with him, okay? And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. He says, I'll give you holy bread if you meet the conditions of what would, you know, that maybe you could apply this, but I'm going to hold something against you. Even though you're hungry, he's going to put an earmark on there. You can't have this holy bread if you haven't done this. And so then David answered the priest and said, truly, women have not been kept from us about 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is of effect common, even though it is consecrated in the vessel this day. Let me just paint the picture for you in a simple way. David's got his entourage of men. They're hungry, they're starving. And there's bread that's not supposedly, it's set aside for the temple. It's holy, showbread, whatever. And showbread is this type of thing. They bake these loaves of bread. Nobody eats them. They're for the Lord. And so they're sitting out there, and he says, hey, can we have some of this bread over here? And he knew the bread was wholly set aside for the Lord. And the guy says, ain't got none of that bread. The problem is, unfortunately, we can get an attitude toward people who really are in need for something, and we will take the law of what we know to prevent us from really meeting the need that's before us. Here's something that just for you to chew on for a while. And I want you to be very careful with this because you can leave here with the wrong information. So be very careful with what I'm saying. There's a lot of times in history we forget about, you know, the whole idea of God's desire for wholeness, for families and people coming together, et cetera, et cetera. And as you very well know now, the ideas around marriage and family and this type of thing are just kind of up for grabs for a lot of folks. Everybody's engaged. Ain't nobody getting married. I've been engaged for 7 years. And these are all my children. We're going to get married. He said he's going to marry with me one day. I got a ring now. He gave it to me February of 2014, I think it was. And you know, I used to carry an attitude toward that. Think about it this. Before the lands were settled, when people are moving across the plains, and people wanted to have families and get together as far as and there was no preacher around, and folks got together, fix that one for me. They stood underneath the stars, whatever. I'm not trying to take things away, but God is looking at the heart of a situation, and we are too quick to jump to judge folks. Am I saying that there should be promiscuous living? Absolutely not. Am I giving a license for fornication? Absolutely not. But before you jump on that train, remember, God is a God of mercy, and when people come to enlightenment, they can go a better way, then they're held accountable for what they know. They don't need you to judge anything. The Bible says, no, own a man anything but to love him. And I'm going to get to that particular place. I obviously went a little over today, so I'll finish this up next week. Don't worry about it. But it will often take several encounters in order to break the bondage of enslavement to our past inhibitions. Go back to chapter 10, verse 16. Acts 10, 16 says, this was done 3 times and the object was taken up into heaven. Remember? Arise, Peter, kill and eat. God had to come to him 3 times before he got it. Some of us will get it the first time. Some of us will get it the second time. But some of you need 3 times to have an encounter with God before you can finally get it through your thick head. It tells me several things. First of all, God doesn't give up on you. Some of you have given up on yourself. I just really said the best. God doesn't really care about me. And I'm just going to be going to hell anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, stop it. That's just the devil trying to talk you out of doing the right thing. But I want the Bible says this, the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Amen. And some of you are hearing from Jesus saying, you know something? I need to fix this thing. I need to submit to God. I need to submit God's way of doing different things. And so you can't use that as an excuse. Well, I've always done it this way before. There's nothing else I can do about it. Well, there's one other little portion of scripture as I'm getting ready to close. I'm just shutting things down a little bit earlier than I probably would have done. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and verses 18 through 20. True holiness is revealed when we are tested because of our faith. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when Peter saw that the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, they realized that they had been with Jesus. I want to tell you, yeah, you can go to the next one, but I won't read that just for a moment. There's one telltale sign that will override anything that's going on in your life is even though you may not have education, even though you may not have other things in your life, but there's an earmark of the Holy Spirit on your life once you're submitted to him and you're obedient to what he tells you to do. They said, well, they're not educated men. They shouldn't know what they know, but the evidence they were been with Jesus. Here we go. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you or more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. He says, I'm not going to try to take this away from you, but we can't stop because you disagree. We can't stop because the Lord has captured our heart on a level that perhaps you don't understand. Worship team, make your way up here. I just want to make a few other points and I'll be done. Our faith will cause people to wonder how we can be sustained in spite of what we're going through. And some of you are going through stuff right now. You're going through stuff. But the deal is that God doesn't want us to realize, or God wants us to realize that it doesn't matter what you're going through, it's a matter of who you're going to. Holiness calls for separation, and here's how it works. We must be intentional by separating ourselves from the things of the world in order to be like Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's a choice. You choose A instead of B. It's a choice. When we draw close to Jesus, we will become more like him, and we must make, when you draw close, it's the company that you keep, it's the people you become like. You sometimes wonder why you have a bad attitude. Check out who you hang out with. Check out what you read. Check out the things that you're looking at. How about this? We must make it our purpose and goal to only want what Jesus wants. Here's the little things I leave for you today of what we're going to do about holiness, and we'll finish this thing up next week. In order to walk in the fullness of holiness, we must be willing to do these things. Number one, be sensitive to the conscience of believers to show them love and support. That seems reasonable. Secondly, holiness is the tapestry that is woven into self-denial. You're not going to do this because it's going to hurt somebody else. The last one I'll leave with you is becoming all things to all men is rooted in holiness. In other words, there's some things that you just don't do because it'll hurt somebody. I've told this a little bit before, but you know, there are people who have license and liberty to partake of alcohol. Doesn't bother me. What? It doesn't bother me. And there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, I know one particular preacher one time got on, he says, the wine that Jesus made was not alcoholic. Really? And they're talking about bring some more of that, what Jesus made? And do you think they can't tell the difference? Are you silly? But I like this. Even in the New Testament, it says this, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, which means there's a possibility that could happen. I'm going to leave it alone. I'll have to fix that next week. You got to come back in so I can fix it for you, okay? Whoa! What did you say that for? Because I want to help you. Some of you sanctified, you know, whatever, legalistic, wonderful people. Bow your heads with me, please, everybody. This is a day that God has made. There's some things he wants to do in the hearts of some people that have been stuck in the throes of legalism, in the throes of condemnation. The word of God says, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, there is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to speak calm and peace over this entire body right now, because God is working in the hearts of men and women right now. And while your heads are bowed, I want to say something that's probably taking place in your heart right now. These might not be the exact words, but the outcome is this. You're saying in your spirit, I really want to be the person Jesus wants me to be. But somehow the habits I've allowed to take over my life, I don't think I can overcome them. And I don't want to be judged by the habits that I keep. And so until I feel capable of handling them, I'm going to stay where I am. I'll stay in seclusion of the things that people don't know about me, or I'll stay in the security of knowing that they can't judge me, because I'll stay away from those type of Christians. But really deep down in my heart, I want to surrender everything to Jesus. I want to be just like him. Can you show me a pathway where I can be what I said a few moments ago? I'm holy because Jesus says I am. I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity, some of you for the very first time, to come to Jesus and say, you know what? I'm willing to trust God to do what seems to be impossible. And for those who've been believers or around the believing cycle of folks, you'd say to them today, you know, I'm not going to be living under your judgment. I'm going to live under God's assignment of his grace and mercy. It'll take care of the deficit in my spirit. Let me pray. Jesus, Those people who've cried themselves to sleep after they once again find themselves in a situation of compromise, or they've allowed themselves to partake to some addiction of sorts, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it even sexual addiction, and they feel like they're just beating themselves up and they'll never make it. Lord, I pray that your holiness would come upon them in such a way that they would be willing to trust you to do what they've never been able to do. Holy Spirit, would you give them a vision of themselves being clean, washed, sanctified, built up, strengthened all the way that they want to be? Jesus, would you put them at peace, that there's no one condemning them, but we're welcoming them into the kingdom. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, that's the prayer that you've prayed before, but I've prayed it for you today. If it's you today and you need to come to Jesus, whether you've been a believer for a while or you fell off back in the world, or you've never made that decision before, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now and let Jesus work in your life. Lift it high where I can see it, wherever you are. Do it. Be willing to trust God to do that. I'm looking over this audience and I know God's touching people. So if you want to do that, do it now, because Jesus is here. He's able to do it. Anybody like that? Because we're going to stand and sing in a moment, and you'll have an opportunity to come forth and receive prayer, receive encouragement, receive strengthening in the things of Jesus. Everyone stand, would you? And if you...
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.